Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting adventure of The Balance. That's right, boys and girls. The Balance team is standing by to bring you, the sports fan, the inside look at the stories you care about. Tom, Brian Scott, and $2 Bill Josh are waiting right now to come to you live and bring you the stories that you care about. In our second hour, RJ Cunningham and Statman Steve, they go out to the racetracks. They bring racing stories to you. Stay put. You do not want to miss this adventure. And welcome to another episode of the Battle Edition. Welcome, my friends, co-hosts right here on Blog Talk Radio. Right alongside, as Joel is my partner in crime, Mr. Brian Scott. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Tom. How are you doing after a very busy weekend out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
That's right. It's been a very busy week out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's been so... what an exciting time it was, although we had a slow start to the week. We're off and running to the races, no pun intended. The 33 drivers have been established for the Indianapolis 500. We're live right out here at the Conoblanca Bar and Grill, right at corner 465 and Rockville Road. Okay, Brian, it's been a fast week. A couple of days. Walk through us what has happened yesterday, and of course the drivers.
Well, it was a big weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for qualifying. We had Tom Carnegie pole day yesterday, which ended in a pretty exciting and somewhat of a I won't say controversial, but a lot of drama going into Fast 9 shootout. And then today, with the way the rains came, you had all sorts of drama. Would they be able to get back out, get any more qualifying done? We find Danica Patrick sitting in the car as the IZOD IndyCar officials hold her up. She had the engine running right after Paul Tracy had finished his bump day run. And she was all set to go. The rains had entered in curve four, and they just see that the track was a little bit too wet for her to make her run. She sat there, and then we all sat here as we waited. And as things happened, got about an hour and 15 minutes in of qualifying for one of the more exciting bump days that we've had here in Indianapolis in quite a long while. So a very exciting pole day to see Alex Tagliani sitting on top of the pole, and a very exciting bump day that sees Marco Andretti bumped out of the race, and he gets in and runs the last qualification attempt of the afternoon. As the gun goes off, he is out on the track, and he bumps his way back in to the Indianapolis 500, the Centennial Running, which will take place this coming next Sunday, I should say, May 29th here at Speedway Indiana.
And that's right. What an exciting time it has been out in the Motor Speedway. Now, I know RJ Cunningham on the track side is on the line with us now. RJ, I know you've been out there in the fan stands all weekend. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Indianapolis 33 drivers are now set for the Centennial Running of the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, well, my phone is trash right now, but hey, I'll tell you what, I've been to 42 races in a row. Now, I haven't always been to every qualification day, mainly because the qualifications weren't always that exciting for me. There was a lot of fans in years past that would go to the qualifications before they would go to the race, partially because the crowds were more tolerable. But let me tell you what, this was one fantastic day. And I can tell you right now that Team Andretti Green or Andretti Motorsports is scratching their heads. They've got two cars in and two cars out, and I just can't believe the trouble that they had getting up to speed. None of them are comfortable, you know, and you've got Conway, which didn't make the race, and you know, he's a race winner this year. It's just unbelievable the kind of drama that went on at the Speedway. You know, they called the races out here at Lucas Oil Raceway, and there's some midget or sprint car teams that are out here testing, and I could hang out there, but you know, I'm pretty worn out. The drama is just, I tell you, Marco Andretti, I guarantee you that young man grew up 10 years just today alone. He got a rude awakening of how the Indianapolis Motor Speedway cares nothing about your personal history, nothing about your personal past and triumphs at whatever other racetracks you were at. All they care about, all that Speedway cares about, is what you're doing at this very moment and this day and time. And Danica Patrick is the same way. I mean, that girl almost didn't make the show, the biggest race of her career. And, those two, unbelievable.
And Jake, I do want to point that out. I mean, Danica just barely made the race. And what a competitive spirit that she had. I had an opportunity to talk with her a little bit yesterday afternoon when she was done with qualifications. She said she got bumped, and there was a lot of action that was going on. And Brian can back me up on this. Danica is certainly a very competitive person. We've got a soundbite from Danica, which we'll play back here in just a few minutes. But Brian, go ahead, and what do you think is going on there in the GoDaddy team? What is happening, and why are they having such a hard time qualifying for the biggest race of her life?
Well, I don't know if it was the GoDaddy team. I think Andretti Motorsports was having problems all month long. I mean, the only guy that found any type of speed, really, especially yesterday, was John Andretti. And in his post-qualifying news conference, he couldn't tell us what they did to gain the speed. He just said they went and did a bunch of things to the car, and all of a sudden he goes back out there and he qualifies, and he qualifies, rather soundly, as he turned in a nice 224.981, when before he was below, you know, just above, I'd say, 223. I think it was 223.2. He didn't have an answer as to why they gained the speed or how they gained the speed. They just knew that there was something that they did that worked. And they were hoping to take that information and pass it on to the other team members. The big problem that came up with Danica today was really not so much did she have the speed or not. Where Danica almost got herself caught, and really it's through no fault of her own. This goes right back, and you pin this right on Andretti Motorsports. Her car failed test. She was number two in the qualifying order today, and she had to go to the back of the line. So it was really nothing she did. It wasn't a racing-type situation where she couldn't find the speed. That car in practice was second fastest in practice this morning behind Charlie Kimball. They had the speed. What almost killed them was a tech issue. And Michael Andretti never really explained what it was. He called it a minor tech issue. But any tech issue, you fail, you go to the back. And it almost cost Andretti Motorsports. The bigger question that also became later on in the day with Andretti Motorsports, you've got a situation with Marco Andretti sitting on the bubble and Mike Conway attempting to knock him off. Where do you go with that? I mean, you're going to end up knocking one or two, and then in the end, they still have the same problem as it's Hunter Ray that gets bumped off by Marco Andretti. So not one of the best weeks, and Michael Andretti said in interviews after qualifications had completed, this was a nightmare for a team owner. This is every team owner's just total nightmare, in which they had issues with tech line. They've got one teammate bumping another teammate out. Mike Conway went out briefly, did not have the speed. They waved off his attempt. That allowed Marco to go back out there, and he ends up bumping off another Andretti Motorsports teammate in Ryan Hunter Ray.
And you're right. And I tell you what, like I said, I had an opportunity to talk with Danica Patrick when she came off the pit lane yesterday afternoon. And here's what she had to say about her car. She's not happy at all. And I tell you what, one of the biggest goals that she has is to have her first win right here at the Indianapolis 500. So what she had to say.
Danica? tell us a little bit about your car today. Obviously, you guys are struggling to get the speed up there. Was wind a factor for you today, you think?
You know, the wind was out there, but I didn't feel it so much. I felt like it was pretty decent, a little bit understeer, but overall, felt okay. So I think probably myself and the rest of the team probably got to be a little bit confused as to what's going on and what we need to do to go faster, but we're definitely going to try.
Now, you're a fan favorite. How special would it be for you to win your first Indianapolis 500 this year?
Well, I'll pick any year. I don't care if it's my first or my 50th. It means just the same. So it's everybody's goal. Well, I can't say that. That's not true. I don't know if it's everybody's goal, but it is my goal.
Good luck to you.
Well, it's Danica Patrick talking about her run for the pole for qualification. We won't say run for the pole, but for qualification for the Centennial run in the Indianapolis 500. A huge, huge deal for Danica to get a win here this year. And she almost didn't make it, man.
Yeah, Danica almost didn't make it. And RJ, I think you and I, you've been around. There are times that as a team owner, you just sit back and go, and when you find out that your car didn't pass tech, and probably even as a better example, is what happened during the Fast 9 shootout when both Ganassi cars run out of gas. Chip Ganassi came up later and said, yeah, somebody screwed up. In the end, they will say because of the long rain delay, they didn't realize that they had drained the cars. They still thought they had fuel in the cars. But as a team owner, that again, you got guys that are supposed to go and check that. So Ganassi has two cars right out of gas. Michael Andretti has a car that fails tech, and I can't remember the last time we saw a high-end owner team like that fail tech. But as an owner, it's got to drive you nuts.
Well, you know, they may fail tech when they first get there. They may, you know, to go through tech initially, they find things, and that's common, but once they go through that initial tech line and they get everything set for the month, then from then on it should be pretty easily done. What also got me is how many other problems there was. There wasn't just Ganassi's deal. There was the AFS team with a part of the car that was left in the car when they went around the corner. Of course, that team there was a new team this year, and you know, I hate to see them not make the show. I think we discussed with them that, you know, they've lost $750,000 now by not making this race. And, you know, that's a lot of money to drop. But it is a learning curve. And you know, you'd think teams like Ganassi and Andretti Motorsport would already have it figured out. And obviously, this track gets the better of all these teams. And you know, this is the first time in a long, long time where you really, truly had to worry about how many cars were trying to make this race. And
but I we need to hop into a break and real quickly, Brian, before we go into a break here, why I guess what I'm going to ask is, wasn't that really embarrassing for Ganassi Racing to have their drivers run out of gas when running to the pole? Or RJ, you can answer that as well. I know that we got to get you a break, and I know Brian got a break clock there, so just let us know when we're due for a break. But to me, that's just really, really embarrassing that we even had that situation happen in the first place to begin with.
Yeah, it's embarrassing for Ganassi, because as RJ says, he's been around. This isn't his first time at the Motor Speedway. This isn't his first time bringing a new team, a new pit crew, a new everything to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Chip Ganassi's been around a very, very long time. And so this is probably an embarrassment. Did it hurt him overall? I'm not so sure, because the one thing about the Fast 9 shootout, they were locked into that top nine. The one thing that probably is really the bad thing that happened about it is Dario Franchitti was going above 227. He turned three laps at 227. He was we don't know if Tagliani would still be on the pole. We don't know if Franchitti would have been on the pole. We do know that he would have been right up there. and he had a great shot at the pole. And to have your – and it's one of the reasons why after the run,
right,
Franchitti just simply got out of the car, put the helmet – left the helmet on, walked away. He said in interviews earlier this afternoon, he goes, yeah, he goes, it wasn't so much that I was swearing. He goes, I didn't want anybody seeing me crying, because he said he was that upset, that frustrated.
Right, and here's the thing. He was locked up to be a sure front row contender and just ran out of fuel. To me, and excuse my ears when I say this on a Sunday afternoon, but to me, that's the kind of crap that would piss the driver off, let alone sponsored. And that's just to me, is such an amateur mistake to make for Penske Racing. Brian and Jay, what are your thoughts on that? And we got to go to a break, I know, Brian, so go. I can take it after the break. But, go
well,
ahead.
Well, it was an embarrassment for Ganassi. That's all that can be said about it. It's an embarrassment, really, for Andretti Motorsports today. But, the one thing about Chip Ganassi in this incident, yeah, it's an embarrassment. Guess what? He still has Scott Dixon and Dario Franchitti starting in the first three rows. When we come back, it's R.J. Cunningham, Tom Marquez, and myself. We'll be talking more about what happened this weekend at qualifications for the Indianapolis 500. You're listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by Fastlane Cycles, Microtel Inn and Suites, Uncle Blanca Bar and Grill, and TracksideReview.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
And welcome back to the... Sorry about that, Brian.
Oh, I apologize.
Right.
We're having a little... Are you there?
I'm having a little technical issues over on Todd's end. Don't forget, the balance is also brought to you by Microtel Inn and Suites at 5815 Rockville Road in Indianapolis. Hey, that's where racing stays in Indianapolis. You can give them a call, make your reservation at 317-247-9703. And currently where Tom is located right now, Casablanca Bar and Grill. They're located at 465 and Rockville Road. Hey, you want to find them, all you got to do, look for the palm trees. They have daily food and drink specials. That's Casablanca Bar and Grill. Along with Tom Marquez and R.J. Cunningham, I am Brian Scott. Big weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we get ready for the centennial running of the Indianapolis 500 coming up next Sunday, May 29th, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And R.J., we looked at some of the things. I think you and Tom and Josh Elmore talked about some of the guys you were looking at, and one of the guys Josh was looking at became one of the big stories of the weekend is Scott Speed. Well, he decided to have – it depends on who you talked about. When it happened that day, everybody said he walked away from Dragon Racing. Scott Speed on his website and Twitters later that night said, no, that's just misunderstanding. But sure enough, come this morning, Patrick Carpentier was in that car. Unfortunately for Carpentier, he put it into the wall during practice, and it wasn't seen enough, and it was damaged so bad he didn't make it back. But it was one of the other big stories during the weekend.
My turn?
That's your turn, RJ.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, I knew that Carpentier was in the car, but you know, and he was up to speed. I was going right by the car. He had just turned a lap in the high 223s, if I'm not mistaken, and was going. I decided to go from the inside of turn two with my Wilson Brothers buddies and then go back out to the outside of turn one up in the top area of the stands. And as I was walking, I heard the impact, and it's amazing. Those softer walls, they may be softer to the drivers, but boy, they sound louder than ever. And, you know, I saw the video on the screen, but the Speedway wouldn't tell anybody what was going on with him. And I was a little concerned. I had to tweet and find out from other individuals what exactly was going on with, Carpentier. I was surprised that, you know, he probably would have been one of the threats to make the race. There's no doubt in my mind, but, you know, that's part of the racing atmosphere in Indianapolis. You know, I feel bad for Fuzzy because he's got some great vodka, you know, and I would have liked to have had a celebration there. Maybe I'll have to go down to one of his golf courses and try some. But, no, I really, you know, it was a shame, really.
Well, here's the big
thing with the weekend, again, like I said, Scott Speed leaves. He has a big blow-up and says, you know, depending on who you talk to, didn't feel like either they were getting anything right. Things hadn't been right since he had joined Dragon Racing. And the next thing we know on Fast Friday, we hear he's walking. He comes back later on. So, and I don't know how these things get started. Nobody, I'm not walking. But we didn't see him at all on pole day. And then today, Patrick Carpentier is in it. One of the big stories, though, and one of the great stories that did come out of pole day was Simona Di Sebestro, who had a horrific crash earlier in the week, got that car upside down, was flying through the catch fence. She ends up burning her hand, second-degree burns on her right hand, and as she explained, those burns really happened when she was trying to get out of the car. Her hands got down into some liquid, some flammable liquid, burned them, and she goes out. And in a backup car, which later she said it was called Pork Chop. She said her number one car was called Janet because it was so pretty. She said the backup car, the 78T, was called Pork Chop because it was a 2003 car that had just been plastered together. And the young lady goes out and does a very impressive 224.392.
And hey, Ryan, what I wanted to tell you that what a great story Simona was. And I tell you what. You know, there are, at the Indianapolis 100 Speedway in Indianapolis, there is folklore that's born, and there's legends that are born. And folklore is exactly what happened there with Simona. What a fantastic story that was. And Brian, I know you and I were there in the press center when we saw her do the press conference. She had her hands all bandaged up. And what a great, 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 great run that she had coming into the now she's qualified with the number 24 to the number 24 slot. What a completely different car than what she had in standing with. And it's 48 hours after suffering severe burns to her hand. Makes just three qualifying attempts, and she's in the 500. To me, that's one of the best stories that has came out of there. Let's talk about this a little bit more and move along with the Carpenter. But just so many great stories this year, and we could pick a better year for the Indianapolis 500 happen when these guys come together and everybody's trying to push it together. And as you'll hear Ed Carpenter and Scott Dixon talking about here in a little bit, the thing is, it is the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. It's a very special time. So everybody's trying very, very hard to qualify to be in that absolute race. And I tell you what, my hats go off to Simona. We had a chance to talk with her. I had a chance to meet with her in the throughout the season. I mean, throughout the week here, and just talk to her one-on-one. And what bright, bright, brave young girl. And RJ and Brian might have some different thoughts or thoughts of the same. But what a fantastic young driver that we have out there in the Indianapolis 500.
Well, Savannah did a fantastic job. And, RJ, I think one of the things I would ask you, she mentioned after her qualifying run, something that you don't hear a lot about a lot of drivers admitting, she's scared. When she had to get back to that car after that horrific crash, she was scared, but she went out there and made the run. And, RJ, you've been around racing. You've been in racing. It's the toughest thing for a driver to do after they've been in a big wreck.
Well, yeah, and the biggest problem was, and she did mention this, the wreck was not her fault. It was a car failure. And there's nothing more scary than to go into a corner and have your brakes fail or have a lug nut fall off your wheel or, you know, any number of things. You know, when your car fails you, there's nothing the driver can do but hold on for dear life, and that's basically what she was doing in that particular circumstance. And you know, it's just an absolute shame that she had a problem with the primary car because that car was top dog. And there's mistakes made in the pits that many fans aren't aware of, and there's mistakes made in the garages that fans aren't aware of. Some are minor, but others are very major. And I can think of instance after instance after instance with the dirt late model program that we'd make a mistake and we'd get away with it. But when you're going 220 miles an hour, those mistakes that we made on the dirt, they're put to the forefront in a big, big way. And she was just, she doesn't trust the car right now. And, you know, she's got to develop the trust in her ride. And I think that just comes with laps, the more laps that she can get. And the thing is, you know, with all the activity today, none of the major teams got enough or any practice in, you know. So at the end of the day, you know, these guys are out doing fuel runs and there's almost nobody. Penske's team wasn't out there. There's Ganassi's team was not out there. Nobody was able to get those laps in to trust their car. And to me, that's real important. And don't be surprised if you see a new winner or Brian Herta's team do well. They did lap after lap after lap. And what little time they had on the track, they were able to get out there and get up to speed and run passing tricks and drafting tricks. And I'm telling you what, that is so important today. And I'm just really looking forward to the race. And if I lose my voice over this next week, I'm going to blame Tom Marquardt.
Well, here's the thing about losing your voice. You know nothing about losing your voice. And those of you and our fans here on next week, I was struggling to do the reports, Brian. You know that I called you and it was just like really, really rough. Now, here's the thing. What an exciting time. And I know that you guys have been out and about as much as I have. I've been just really talking to every team, every driver, everybody that'll give me 5 seconds of their time to talk about the Indianapolis 500 and what it means to them to be a part of the Indianapolis 500. And I tell you what a great, great year, what a special year to be a part of the Indianapolis 500. And throughout the sound bites that we'll play here, our very special edition of 33 cars on the balance, it is an extremely important time for all drivers to be there and to be a part of this historical race. And more than that, they are trying so hard to qualify. And Dave and I had an opportunity to go to AFS Racing. We had an opportunity to talk with Mill over there at AFS Racing. We've had some good opportunities to get some of those guys in as well. And with Trackside, we're following a brand new rookie, David Stella in the Indy Lights series. Speaking of the Indy Lights, Brian, you know as well as I know, we've got some great drivers, Hinchcliffe, some other great drivers who have come up in the Indy Lights series and have really shown themselves in this race. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, well, we're having a little bit of technical issues on Tom Marquez's line, and unfortunately, I'm only getting about every other word he's saying, so it's kind of difficult to understand. He was talking about Indy Lights, I believe. Of course, the big Freedom 100 will be this Friday at Carb Day here in Indianapolis. They will have practice this Thursday in preparation for that big race. And RJ, we've seen some of these guys come through the Indy Lights. A man was one of those that was in Indy Lights, did fairly well in Indy Lights. She makes it up to the Izod IndyCar Series. And as we know, it's taking those steps from one series to the next that's so important in a driver's career.
She did remarkably well. She was a little bit hanger-outer there, just like Paul Tracy was. You know, both those guys had a couple of rough laps going in, guys. You know, just shows me how I feel about the female drivers. They're just like one of the boys as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, you know, it was good to see her in. She's paid her dues in the Lights program. So does Anna Beatrice. She's done a real good job, too. You know, and Alex Lloyd getting back in the race. I mean, those are all Indy Lights people. And, I mean, that is a definite progression up to the next series. And, you know, it's just, you know, all around fun. I mean, there's not as much downforce and there's a lot of torque in those cars. So it gives you a little bit more seat-of-the-pants feeling that you need once you get to the IndyCar series. But
I tell you what, we're going to take a timeout here. When we come back, RJ Cunningham, Tom Marquis, myself will talk more about what happened at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You're listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you'd like to give back to the drivers, if you'd like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio alongside Tom Marquis and RJ Cunningham. I'm Brian Scott. The Balance is also brought to you by Microtel Inn and Suites at 5815 Rockville Road in Indianapolis. Hey, that's where racing stays when they're in Indianapolis. You can give them a reservation. Call them for a reservation at 317-247-9703. Also brought to you by Casablanca Bar and Grill. They're located at 465 and Rockville Road. Just look for the big old palm tree and you'll find them right there. They have daily food and drink specials. That is the Casablanca Bar and Grill. Also brought to you by TracksideReview.com. RJ, don't know if you're still doing the special deal on the gas card, but make sure you check them out. Trackside Review is the magazine and TracksideReview.com. Big day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Bump day has filled the field of 33. Guys, let's go back and take a look at yesterday on Tom Carnegie pole day. Had a lot of action at the track, and the one guy that we saw back at the top, he's been there all week, so it was really no surprise. Alex Taglioni sits on the pole. He did it initially with a provisional pole time at speed of 226.954 for the four-lap average. But then we got to the Fast 9 shootout. That's been a rather exciting thing that I saw this year. And one of the things I liked about this, we had that rain that happened yesterday. Last year when they introduced this format, it was going to be for an hour and a half, 90 minutes. You were going to have the Fast 9 drivers each go out and make basically what was a requalification attempt. Take four laps and try to requalify in a race for the pole. You were locked into the top nine spots, but you could change your spot depending on the speed. And last year, in those 90 minutes, they ran through all nine drivers and then allowed people to possibly go out and better their time. Either got better and moved up a spot, or they got worse and moved down a spot. This year, I kind of like the idea that due to the rain, This was a one-and-done deal. Everybody got one shot. You took it or you didn't. And yeah. I thought it was a lot more exciting racing. What did you think, RJ?
Oh, RJ, we lost him. We're going to get him back here in just a minute here. I know that he just arrived here. He was driving back from the track. He just arrived here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I do want to apologize about the technical difficulties that we're having on my microphone. Brian, you're not here with me to make all the adjustments that I'm used to. You've got me spoiled. So anyway, so we are back. But Nicolani, you're right. What a great story that is. I mean, we've been following in the first Canadian on the pole. And as you know, the fact that you have been following a very good Canadian in last driver, David Vassell. Now, RJ, you missed Brian's question. Brian, go ahead. What's your question? This is a, go ahead, Brian.
RJ, RJ, one of the things I was asking you, we saw yesterday in the Fast 9 shootout, last year was the introduction to this format, and it basically was 90 minutes at the end of pole day where the top nine drivers went out. They each made what, in a sense, was another qualification attempt, got four laps. Everybody went through, and then they had a chance to go back and better it or worse it. If you did worse, then you went down. Yeah, yesterday what we saw due to the delay because of the rain shower that moved through Speedway late in the afternoon, this only it only lasted from about 5, and it was one of the first times we've ever seen Speedway actually run past 6 because of this. But it was a one-and-done deal. Everybody went out once. You got one shot at it, you took it, and that's what it was. Do you like that? I kind of like that better than everybody going through once and then trying to better it. You get one shot at it, you're either on it or you're not. What did you think of racing that way?
Well, to be honest with you, last year I didn't like it. Okay, now last year I didn't even go. I made up my mind that I didn't like it, period. I was a traditionalist and I didn't want to go. But I'm going to tell you, after this year, I've changed my tune along with probably 150,000 other people. That is, to me, brought back the excitement. Now, I prefer them, you know, getting another chance. I don't prefer the one-shot deal. And that would have happened had they had the normal time. But, you know, in a nutshell, the whole qualification weekend was, to me, and keep in mind, this will be my 42nd Indianapolis 500 in a row. I feel that this is by far the best that I've ever seen, both qualifications and bump day or pole day. So, you know, bar none, I don't see how they can improve on it except a new, more exciting car and different looks and different motors. And, I hope that they don't put that new chassis off. They're talking about the possibilities, but...
Let's talk a little bit then about some of the guys we saw on pole day, because we mentioned Alex Tagliani. He was fast all week, and guess what? At the end of the day yesterday, he wins the shootout with a 227.472, edging out Scott Dixon's 227.340. One of the guys in the shootout, though, that made a dramatic improvement was Oriel Servia. I mean, he gained almost a mile and a half hour better on his initial speed, because Oriel came in. He was at the middle of row three with a 225.775, and he goes out in the shootout and does a 227.168 that puts him on the outside of row one.
Right. The whole deal was just fantastic. Now, I will say this. I'm going to make a prediction. But unlike $2 Bill Josh's prediction, I'm not going to predict Scott Speed to win the race. What I am going to do, though, however, is I'm going to predict one of two people on the front row to win the race. I think it will be a new winner. I think it will either be Tagliani or Oriel Servia. The only thing that will keep them from winning this race, in my opinion, is going to be pit stops. The double file restart is going to catch so many people off guard. To this year, being in the front is going to be the ultimate, most important thing of all. I can't wait for double file restarts. I haven't even got my tickets yet. A lot of guys that go to the races don't realize that I wait until the last minute. Out of the 42 years that I've gone to the Indianapolis 500,
I've only bought my tickets from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway directly 4 years out of 42 years. I buy my ticket. To me, it's part of the fun to go negotiate your ticket. And this year is going to be the first year I'm going to go by myself because I've made up my mind that nobody is going to take me away from my duties as a racing reporter. Somebody called me a writer today. This is the fifth time in 1 month that somebody's called me a writer. So, you know, I feel pretty good about the future. And, you know, but to me, it's going to be a new winter. It's going to be so much fun. And the double file restarts is without a doubt going to make it the most exciting Indianapolis 500.
Now, you're mentioning that, RJ, that it is not a favorite with the drivers. And every driver I talk to about that is not a favorite of the drivers at all in the least. What are your thoughts, Brian, on the double restart on that?
Well, I don't know if it's every driver. I think in listening to John Andretti, I mean, I think that if there are drivers that are not in favor, it's mainly because they haven't had to really – they've only had limited experience with it yet. John Andretti, and after he qualified solidly in the race, again, he qualified earlier in the day, got bumped out and re-qualified solidly into the race. He was asked about the double file restarts, and he goes, you know, I don't know if I really can tell you because we've seen it. We've all gotten through it. It's worked. He goes, the bigger problem that everybody is saying they're a little iffy about it is simply Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a narrow racetrack. You can't run a high groove. And I don't know if you've got the soundbite, Tom, he even mentioned, you know, we don't have Kevin Kogan around anymore to sit there and clear out the high groove for us. And he goes, the biggest problem you've got in these double file restarts is they're afraid of people getting up into the marbles in turn one coming out of the restart. There's no apron there to kind of have a buffer. And, you know, I think John had some say there's a little bit of an apprehension about that. But they've proven that they've kind of been able to deal with it. And I think most race drivers, or as most athletes are, you throw them a curveball, throw them something new that they have to deal with. A lot of people will grumble for a while. In the end, they've got to deal with it. So I think the biggest thing is if they can take three abreast coming on a flying start to start the race and get through, you know, we all say get through turn one and everything kind of evens itself out, I think they'll be okay going two abreast coming on a restart.
Well, here's my opinion. You want it?
Yeah, go ahead, RJ.
Well,
ahead,
I think that what's gonna happen is it's going to make another groove. I really think there's down deep in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, there is another groove. I know that everybody disagrees with me there, but if you run that outside groove long enough, you're going to create a groove. If there's enough rubber out there, it can be a groove. No matter what kind of racing you do, if you make drivers run on the outside, whether it be dirt, whether it be pavement, whether you make them lay down some rubber up on the top, the bottom will automatically always be there, but you will also have a top groove. So what they're going to have to do is after each yellow, when they have a yellow, they'll probably have to take the sweeper in each corner and sweep the corner. That's to me, that's a safety factor. But, I just can't wait. I'm just so excited about this race.
It is, Jay. It's going to be a great race, and I do apologize about the delay there. I guess it's just the technical difficulties that we've on our end. But what a great race this is going to be for Sam Schmidt. And RJ, you and I had a chance to talk to Sam Schmidt on many different occasions, and I got a chance to get to know him over the last couple weeks, just hanging out in the garages. And he is a team owner. He is a former team driver, but more than anything, he's in a wheelchair. Not that that means anything, but I'm just going to say that he does more for race in a wheelchair than most people do their entire lifetime on feet. And I tell you what, the good thing about Alex Tagliani competes is so many people. And he's the first Canadian pole. He is a partisan. And all the other drama that we were just talking about with Dragon Ray that they have brought to the show. I tell you what, between Indy Lights and IndyCar, Sam Schmidt Racing and Dragon Racing have actually put, in my mind, a new look and a new feel on the Indianapolis 500. What do you think about that, Brian?
Sorry, Tom. I could barely understand you. So,
Brian. I was talking about.
I tell you what, though, we are going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what happened at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway over this weekend. I've got a quote here as RJ was talking about two abreast restarts. Well, Johnny Andretti addressed that after his qualification run. And, RJ, you might be interested in what to say. You're listening to The Balance, a special edition, 33 cars. And we'll be right back here on Blog Talk Radio.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
And welcome back to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. That music dug in a lot of speed over the past weekend. With qualifications have finished at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The Balance on Blog Talk Radio is also brought to you by Microtel Inn and Suites at 5815 Rockville Road in Indianapolis, where racing stays when they're in Indianapolis. Call them at 317-247-9703 to make your next reservation. Also, by the Casablanca Bar and Grill, where Tom and RJ happen to be camping out right now. They are located at 465 and Rockville Road. Just look for the big old palm trees with daily food and drink specials. That is the Casablanca Bar and Grill. Alongside RJ Cunningham and Tom Marquis, I am Brian Scott. We are talking a special 33 cars edition of The Balance, as again qualifications are over at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We were just talking a few moments ago about two abreast restarts and what might be able to be done to help with that. RJ was making a great point about maybe cleaning off the groove so you can run two abreast. John Andretti, after he qualified yesterday, he was asked about that. Here's what he had to say.
That's a great question, because I know I've been watching pretty attentively as everybody else is, and I think it's just how pretty people watching these restarts, because I'll tell you, the guys seem to get through it. You know, after the first race and the second race, they were kind of getting through the first turn, and then they get down the next corners, and then it was creating a problem. So I think the only issue here in Indianapolis is it's a one-group racetrack, and as the race goes on, it becomes more and more of a one-group racetrack. And the only reason I say that, I think you can't refine, you can. The problem is all the dirt. Nobody's saying that they're clean. We don't have Kevin Coates racing with us right now, and, you got to turn that outside lane. It's really tough. And when we have the apron, it allows for two lanes, but I think that they took the apron out mostly because of impact that we would have on a spin. And they wanted to reduce that distance so that we would hit back first instead of feet first. So as race car drivers, we want the extra space to race. And as people want race car drivers, when things go bad, we want to be closer to the wall so we don't, because obviously you don't want to hurt your feet especially. But I think this new car will certainly change things as well, too.
That was John Andretti talking about the two abreast restarts. You're listening to The Ballast of Long Radio, along with Jake Cunningham and Tom Marquis. I'm Brian Scott, and a little bit later we can talk to you. We have another quote from John about running two grooves at Indy, but as RJ says, it's not that you can't run two grooves, and not as John says, you can't run two grooves. Just not much there to run without sweeping out all the dirt. RJ, other thoughts? We saw Dan Weldon come up in a very strong, and Dan's been missing for a little while from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And also, one of the big ones that I noticed, he's been gone for, 6 years? Davey Hamilton made a strong showing yesterday.
Well, Davey qualified last year. He just didn't run well. He qualified, and then he came out of turn two, and he spun. The one thing I do like about all the rain delays is we get to watch all the old videos, and they showed Davey Hamilton spinning coming out of two from last year's race, and that's probably the only reason I remember it. You know, I don't know how that Donald Davidson does it, man. That dude can remember everything, and it's so fun to listen to him. But in a nutshell, Weldon, he's missed the first three races of the year without a team. I mean, he raced all of last year. I was really surprised him leave Panther Racing. And I'm also even more surprised to see their new driver do so well. And in a nutshell, inexperience is always a very costly factor whenever you've got somebody that's new and up front. So you're going to have to watch it. And, people that don't really respect the racetrack, that's another big problem, too.
And you're right, absolutely right, RJ, about that. And I know that we've only got about 37 minutes left in the show. We want to make sure we get through all 33 drivers and real quickly on those shows. So what we've got to do is we're going to take a break. And Brian, when we get back, we've got to break down these 33 drivers because we want to make sure that in the next 37 minutes, that gives us 1 minute a driver to talk about. So we want to make sure that we do that. And we've got plenty of sound bites left on that as well. So when we get right back, we will jump right into the 33 drivers that are left and that are on board.
Hey race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Ballast on Talk. I'm Tom Marquez and RJ Cunningham. I'm Brian Scott. Ballast is also brought to you by Microtel Inn and Suites at 5815 Rockville Road in Indianapolis, where racing stays when they're in Indianapolis. You make a reservation at 317-247-9706. Also by Casablanca Bar and Grill, located at 465 and Rockville Road. Just look for the big old palm tree. They have daily food and drink specials, also brought to you by Trackside Review, the magazine, and TracksideReview.com. Alongside Tom Marquez and R.J. Cunningham, I am Brian Scott, special 33-car edition of The Balance. And the 33-car field is set, and we're going to tell you what 1 through 33, who those drivers are, as we get ready for the centennial running of the Indianapolis 500 this Sunday, May 29th.
That's right, Brian. And thank you so much for joining us for 33 cars. Indianapolis 500, the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. Now, in the number 33 slot, Brian, who's number 33?
Well, let's start running out. I'll start it with the outside of row 11 will be Anna Beatrice, who turned a 223.879. She ran fairly well. She turned an awful lot of laps, and she gets into this race. Inside of row 11, on the middle, excuse me, will be another rookie driver, as we mentioned earlier, Pippa Mann, who qualified with a 223.936. And on the inside of row 11, Alex Lloyd, who bumped his way back into the field as he finished with a 223.957. Gentlemen, your thoughts about row 11?
Well, my thought, Anna Beatrice is an Indy Lights winner. She's going to do very well. Alex Lloyd is also an Indy Lights winner and a very, very competitive Indy Lights winner, as a matter of fact. Seeing him come back is really cool. He will not be happy with staying in the back. He does know how to drive a race car, and he's going to do very well. Pippa Mann, her duties, in my opinion, is just to try to finish the race. Stay within eyesight of everybody, but stay out of their way.
All righty, so then we'll move to the row 10. We'll go to the outside of row 10 as the 38 car of Graham Rahal will reside on the outside of row 10. He finished with a 224.380. Charlie Kimball, who was fastest in practice this morning for bump day, he finds himself in the running with a 224.499. And making that very dramatic late run is Marco Andretti. He will start in the inside of row 10 with a 224.638. Marco, on and off all afternoon. He was on the bubble, had some anxious moments. He gets quickly bumped off when Paul Tracy has just an outstanding run. And in the end, he comes back in the final car of the day with a big, big run.
And that's right. What a great qualification that was. Now, what number? I'm sorry, guys. I'm having to use my cell phone because my mic is just not working the way that it should be. What number are we at right now?
We are in row 10. So the inside of row 10 is Marco Andretti. In the middle is Charlie Kimball. And on the outside is Graham Rahal. So our thoughts about row 10.
Yeah, and so we've got Marco Andretti and Ryan Briscoe right now. Now, Ryan Briscoe has had a great running and practice runs. He's also had a great qualification. Brian and RJ, what are your thoughts on Mr. Briscoe?
Well, Briscoe's doing great, but, Marco Andretti, Ryan Briscoe, and Rahal will all follow each other to the front. If they can get through the first couple of laps, as any 500 will be, those are three guys that are going to try to follow each other all the way to the front. And I guarantee you, Marco is not a very happy camper. So I think he'll be the most aggressive, but we got to get him through the first lap. That's the main thing. If he gets through the first lap, he'll be fine.
Well, we were talking about Ryan Briscoe. He actually is on the outside of row 9 as he came in with a 220.
Which brings us to Denica Patrick, who almost didn't qualify, as we tried to talk about a little bit earlier today. Denica's had a hard time with the GoDaddy team and the GoDaddy car this year. What is going on there with Denica as where she's at right now, RJ and Brian?
Brian, you go first with your thoughts.
Well, I mean, let's go back and look at row 9. Like I said, the outside of row 9 is Ryan Briscoe. In the middle of row 9, who came on with a strong run today, 224.891, is Danica Patrick. And on the inside of row 9, the 224.939 is Paul Tracy. Danica, and that, as I mentioned earlier, that entire Andretti Motorsports team, they were having trouble finding speed all week long. John Andretti found it yesterday, Danica went, she was second quickest to Charlie Kimball. So they've evidently got her car dialed in. They knew she was going to be fast. It was the whole tech issue that messed her up. The guy that I thought that showed a real strong car right there and made that qualifying run was Paul Tracy. Paul Tracy came in. He really hadn't done a whole lot all week, but he comes in, turns a really strong qualifying effort, and finds himself on the inside of row 9 with a 224.939.
Right, and what a great job Paul Tracy did, and I had an opportunity to talk with him as well as he come off pit lane. RJ, what are your thoughts on Paul Tracy?
A bonsai qualifying run. I personally think you should be embarrassed to have Davey Hamilton out-qualify him. That's just my personal opinion, and, you know, if I see him, he probably won't like it, but that is my thoughts. I mean, he should be the better shoe, too. He's more healthy and the most experienced of the two. And I, you know, I was really kind of disappointed, although the qualifying run was just an absolute beauty to watch. I mean, he had the fans on edge the whole time. Great.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Paul Tracy, I had an opportunity to get to go back there to the garage and talk to Paul for a good little bit. And he's really excited about being in here. And, in fact, what he told me was, I'm just really surprised at how well my car is doing. And the practice runs weren't so hot. But when he came out there and he qualified, he did a good solid qualifying and underneath the radar, which actually – two great stories right there, Paul Tracy and Simona. Now we're into Simona right now, which we've talked about earlier. She now qualifies, and what a great position for her to qualify for, Brian.
Well, yeah, we'll move into row 8, and we'll start there on the outside of row 8 with Simona Disabestro, as she recorded a 225.392. Middle of row 8 will be Tony Kanaan at a 224.417. And on the inside of row 8 will be the 07 car of Thomas Schechter, the 224.433. We talked about Simona earlier, of course, the bad wreck. Great job coming back, turning four solid laps, 224s across. Tony Kanaan, that's a guy that's been a leader of a team. He's on that. And one of the things I heard about him today was just simply he's just glad to be on a good team. Hooking up with Jimmy Vassar and doing just a really good job. I think you look at that row, you see Thomas Schechter, Tony Kanaan. Simona, I think that hand, she was able to get through four laps. Can she get through 200 laps? That gets, if you've ever been burned, that stuff gets tight, it gets hard. That'll be a real test to see if she can run the distance.
Right. She just needs to hang in there and make sure her car is going to be fine. She needs to stay within sight of the top dogs, and if she has good pit stops, she'll be all right. She's a little spooked, as we've already discussed. You're going to see Tomas there. He's going to be a bonsai attacker as well. I'm telling you, I can't believe all the top dogs that are in the back. But when they have full loads of fuel and these guys get out there and these veterans are going to be wanting to be flying through the pack. And, you know, I can remember years gone by where, you know, Johnny Rutherford started from the back and moved up to the front. Tom Sneva started from the back and moved up to the front. And this reminds me of years like that. The only difference is that all of these cars are, you know, very, very close. But if you could spell engineering, I can't spell it without spell check, unfortunately. Tony Kanaan and Dan Weldon, I think they have the two best engineers in racing right now. And those are the teams that are taking drivers that are not normally capable and putting them up there. So,
And you're right, RJ and Brian. And here's a quick thing. I want to just make sure that we get through all the drivers completely. We've got Tony Kanaan, and I had a chance to catch up with Tony as he was coming off pit road just right after he got out of his car. And here's what he had to say about his run yesterday.
Hi, Tony. So glad to see you were here today. How'd you feel out there running today?
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, we did what we were supposed to do, and it was just not fast enough. So I would say, you know, I don't know if we're safe or not, but we're going to have to work on it.
Did the wind have a factor?
No, not on me. No, not in my car. I don't know if I'm going fast enough to get affected by it.
Speaking of your car, new car for you, new ride for you. What do you think about it?
It's a new team. We have a lot of work to do. So, yeah, it's kind of like getting used to the team and to the setup that they want to run. So we'll see what's going to happen.
Now, you're a fan favorite here at the Indianapolis 500. How special would it be for you to win your first Indianapolis 500 on the Centennial race?
I mean, just to win the 500 alone, it would be a big thing. Being a fan favorite and winning the Centennial, I think I'll retire after that.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Good luck to you.
All right, that's Tony Kanaan out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as he got out of the car yesterday with the in qualified for the pole. Now, I don't think he's really going to retire, Brian, but hey, what a great win it would be for him to win his first win at the Indianapolis 500 right here at the Centennial Running, Brian.
Well, yeah, and all these drivers, this Indianapolis is Indianapolis. It doesn't really. I think everybody will sit there and say, "Oh, it'd be special to win the Centennial." Every one of these drivers say, "You know, it's just special to win at Indianapolis. It's something that they all dream about." Whether you're running in the Izod IndyCar, NASCAR, MotoGP, it doesn't really matter. You win in Indianapolis, it just takes you up. Why don't we move now to row 7? Where a rather interesting row, we'll get your guys' opinion. On the outside of row 7 in the 88 car is Jay Howard, who qualified with a 224.483. The middle of row 7, a guy that we're all familiar with, Justin Wilson, he qualified with a 224.511.
Right.
And on the inside of row 7, Bruno Junqueira, he has a qualifying speed of 224.691.
And you're right, Brian and RJ. We've got a good opportunity to talk with Justin over the last couple of weeks, and Justin has just really given us open arms there at his garage, and just enabled us to talk to him. Just kind of an open door policy with him, and we've had a great time talking with him. I know we had a soundbite from him, but his biggest thing was wind. He had a big issue with the wind. I talked to him when he just got out of the car, and he was rushed to the media center to really get a chance to load the soundbite. But what he told me was that wind was a big factor for him, but he wants to get a little bit more speed, Brian and RJ.
Well, he's a guy with a lot of experience, so he's going to do well. He's probably one of the most experienced drivers in the middle of the pack. Now, Jay Howard, on the other hand, he had a bad deal last year with another team, so he pretty much is his rookie. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they do. And, you know, there again, starting in the middle, I'm telling you, it's going to be a dangerous start. It's going to be one of the more dangerous starts in recent history, so...
You're very right about that, RJ, and I think Brian and I, you and I talked about that. Let's just pause for a moment and talk about what a historical spot where he's starting at is, and that has been a historical spot where there's been situations that have been unrecoverable for the Indianapolis 500. Brian, do you think that's going to hurt Justin?
Well, I think when you look at the middle of the pack with a couple of of inexperience. When we look at row 8, which you've got Thomas Schechter and Tony Kanaan, both guys that are known to be hard charging. We'll get to row 6 here in a minute, but again, a lot of experience in row 6. You're going to have a couple of young guys, and RJ, you know that you're going to have some guys charging hard from the back, and you're going to have some guys, experienced guys up in the front. To have a couple of young guys right there in the middle in row 7, you know, as they say at Indianapolis, get around turn 1. You get around turn 1, you got a good chance to make it around to turn 4 and back to the start-finish line. It's all getting past turn 1.
That's correct. Turn 1 is the most important thing. Stan Fox, unfortunately, you know, he paid for a turn 1 incident that wasn't his fault. And, you know, it's a real shame that, you tell people, turn 1, get through turn 1, even this year, down turn 2, and then start flying. And I think everybody will be fine. But, when you see 400,000 or almost 500,000 fans your mind goes through different scenarios, and it's not a normal life. I mean, it just changes everybody. They become totally different, and it's just, you know, a matter of experience, and the inexperience usually catches them, and it usually takes out somebody that's really good and experienced, so you can only tell the way so long.
Well, let's move from inexperience in row 7 to we are now midway through the field of 33, and we're going to talk about a very experienced row 6. On the outside of row 6 is E.J. Bissell with a 224.732. The middle of row 6, John Andretti with a very impressive 224.981 after being bumped on pole day. Inside of row 3, Elio Castroneves with start into the 225 at a 225.216.
Right, and Brian, I want to stop you there, right there, real quick. What a great conversation you and I had with John Andretti. With John Andretti, when he got out of the car, just really disappointed with his car, and just really not really happy with anything. In fact, actually, he was thankful that he even made the race. In fact, we talked to him back when he was a little bit grouchy. If you remember that, you and I talked about that off mic and everything else. He just really didn't want to talk to anybody. I caught him when he got out of the car, and I said, hey, can I get a few comments from you? He reluctantly said yes, didn't really want to talk to me very much that much. But as you know as well as I know, we were down there in the media center with John Andretti, and we had a great conversation with him about his position and where he's at. So what a great qualification for him as well, Brian.
Yeah, John came back very strong, and as he mentioned, the Andretti Motorsport team, they went back after that first qualifying run. He didn't have a whole lot of speed, found himself bumped off of a pole day. They went back, made some changes to the car. He made a comment, of course, that, you know, your favorite things and the things you dread about Indianapolis, one of the things that he dreads is qualification, because you are just there's no wing in the car. He goes, you're just out there. When you do good, it's great. There's just no gray area. But John came in and did a very respectable and very solid second run. Again, we look at row 6. E.J. Bissell, he's just seemingly been here forever. I just always seemingly hear his name. He always runs solid laps. And then you've got Elio, and Elio is Elio. He ran in the 222 or 225 all the way through with the first of the 225s of the day at 225.216. And with Castroneves on the inside of row 6, you know he's going to be charging up to the front really quick, RJ.
Yeah, Castroneves has got some pressure. You know, not only, you know, is he not performed up to snuff the first part of the year, he has the old U.S. tax man after him. So he's got to make some money. So, you know, it's just like, okay, now let's go. Got to make some money. So anyway, so I'm just kidding. But it should be fun to watch him, and I love that paint scheme. Probably the best paint scheme of the month.
All right, guys, we got 17 minutes. We're off schedule by about two drivers. So let's go ahead and bounce down to rookie Hillebrand. Well, J.R. Hillebrand with the National Guard car. I mean, how impressive has he been going out there all week long? And I'll tell you what, during his practice runs, he actually had a shot at the pole, in my opinion. And what he did hanging with Tagalani all week long in the practice run. Brian, what are your thoughts about this great rookie, J.R. Hillebrand?
Well, it's with any rookie. We'll see how he does on race day. It's one thing to run out there all by yourself on qualifications and get around the speedway. It'll be another thing to do it when you've got 32 other cars out on the track.
Well, that's correct. And I predicted that he wouldn't have as successful a month as he has, but Team Panther has really helped him get up to snuff, and he needs to follow somebody. If he's fast enough, pass anybody. And competitive, but he needs to follow an experienced driver and just try to stay right on the tail, and I think he'll be more than just fine.
Right. And go ahead, Brian. Moving on down the list here. It's all you, Brian. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. We skipped row 5, so
Go ahead. Back up there. I apologize. We got ahead of ourselves. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, row five will be on the outside, Davey Hamilton in the middle, Bertrand Baguette, and on the inside, another rookie, James Hinchcliffe.
Right, and so, yeah, you're right, we switched off. So we're now at number 10.
Yes, I just mentioned you've got Davey Hamilton, Bertrand Baguette, and James Hinchcliffe in row five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Davey Hamilton, a fantastic run. Davey Hamilton, an absolute fantastic run. Great engineering, great program. Get through the first lap. He's never been satisfied with what his speedway deal has done since his injuries. I predict that he not only will do well, this will be his retirement year. After he does, if he finishes in the top 10, I think he'll be satisfied and walk away from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in racing. There's another rookie right there. He's on the inside, so he's got a good starting position. He needs to follow whoever's in front of him and stay out of trouble.
All right, so we'll move up to then row four. That'll be J.R. Hildebrand, Vitor Mir, and Takuma Sato.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I had a chance also to talk with him a little bit when he opted out of the car as well. And I tell you what, though, he was pretty happy with his car go ahead, Brian, as I look for that soundbite.
Well, Takuma Sato, he had a pretty good run, and he had a chance to talk with us afterwards.
How'd you feel out there today?
Yeah, and I found this soundbite right here. I talked to him, like I said, I was grabbing these guys as they were coming out of the car, and I just wanted to get their initial thoughts right after they got out of the car. Here's what he had to say.
How do you feel out there today?
That's great. Really pleased, and especially we had such a little run in a practice, and the team did really a good job, and the four drivers working so closely together, and I'm very satisfied with the team and the engineers.
Now, how's the wind affecting you out there today?
Pretty much affected really badly, actually, I say, because it's a very unique wind direction, plus the tempos are quite cool. So I had a little wiggle during qualify, but I was able to hang on, and it was really satisfying.
How's it feel to be a part of the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500?
Well, to be standing here is absolutely perfect. So, anticipating and this race is a great satisfaction, and looking at we are now really strong and a little too early to celebrate, but if we are top 10 today or top 9, that will be more than bonus.
Okay, thank you.
That was Takuma Sato. He's on the inside of row four. As we head on to row three, it'll be this is where the top fast nine located. Dario Franchitti on the outside of row three, along with Ed Carpenter and Buddy Rice. And there probably wasn't a better story at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway than Ed Carpenter.
I would love to see Ed Carpenter win this race. I believe Ed's got the definite capabilities of winning this race. But, pit stops, with one-off basic team, pit stops could very easily get them in trouble. If I were Sarah Fisher in that team, I would get another car and I would work through maybe 500 practice pit stops. I'd go away from the speedway and I would practice and practice and practice and practice.
Right, and RJ.
Saw Ed Carpenter up there with doing he did a very good job. Actually, he was about the only car besides Franchitti who slid back in the field after the Fast Nine shootout. But another name up there that Indy fans are familiar with, we've got Buddy Rice starting on the inside of row three.
Buddy Rice, he's got something to prove. He's not been around for a while. He needs to prove that he's back and back strong. It all goes down to the fact that he's got to get through the first lap. It's going to be interesting to see, what kind of sponsorship comes on board on that car. That car's been going without any sponsorship the whole month, just waiting for, some of these guys that lost their sponsorships. I mean, that's also cool on Carburation Day. They'll come out there, and some of those cars that have had no liveries are going to have sponsorships coming out of the woodwork. So that's going to be interesting to see how that flies too.
Right. And RJ, I had an opportunity to talk with Ed Carpenter as he hopped out of the car as well. And Brian, I'm going to let you kind of just be the producer today, if you will, just kind of guide the ship here and watch the sign for me. But here's what Ed Carpenter had to say.
Ed, what a great run. And what a great story with you and Sarah. And you guys have just had a great practice run. Tell me what it feels like to be out there.
It was tough today. I mean, qualifying here is always so tough. And in a lot of ways, it's, you know, so much more stressful than race day. But just, you know, happy and proud of the team. The Dollar General car's really fast. And we're able to put in a good first attempt. Hopefully it keeps us in the fast nine. And then, you know, we'll come up with our game plan for the fast nine.
Has the weather been a factor? I mean, the weather, the wind at all?
The wind. I think it's the wind. You know, the track temperature is good. It's not hot out. You know, last year it was the heat and the track temperature. This year it's the wind that's just making it very hard. You know, you can't predict the wind, and you're just waiting for what it's going to do, and then you have to react to it the best you can. So it's tough.
Now, what a great story you guys had, a comeback. First half of the season basically was a loss for you guys. I mean, for all intents and purposes. But how would it feel to win here? This year, this race?
Indy is what it's all about. You know, obviously this year with the Centennial, it would be amazing, but any time you get a chance to put your face in the board corner and drink that milk, you know, that's why I race Indy cars.
You going to race another race after this race?
Yeah, we have 10 races this year,
okay.
So we're just getting started.
All right, congratulations, Ed.
Thank you.
That was Ed Carpenter after his qualifying run. He qualified at 226.171. On pole day, ended up sliding back a little bit as he lost a little bit of speed in the fast nine shootout. He will qualify in the middle of row three. That takes us up to row two. And on the outside will be Dan Weldon. In the middle will be Will Power. And on the inside of row two, a guy that's been pretty fast all week long, I should say, in Townsend Bell.
I predict, who, me? Is this RJ time or is it Tom time?
Go ahead, RJ. It's all you, buddy.
There again, Townsend Bell and Dan Weldon, if they can get some pit stop practice. They were out the most. They reminded me of Team Penske, the way they were out practicing today. I find them quite experienced in that. Brian Herta is a driver that was an excellent driver. He got injured in a test crash just like Sam Schmidt did. It's going to be interesting to see how that team plays out. Once again, for those that don't know, Brian Herta is the test team for the new car starting in July. And we heard that from Autosport Racing, and I really appreciate that thought. I hope to hear and see that car being tested. So it's going to be interesting to see. Oh, man, what a race.
Dan Weldon even made a comment as they were talking to him about his qualification. Of course, Dan's been missing for I believe a couple of years as well, and he said he went to Brian Herta, and he says, I'd love Brian Herta asked him to come back. Dan says, can you get me a fast car? Can I compete? And he said, when Brian Herta tells me, yes, I can give you a fast car, he said there was no second thought about it.
Right, and I tell you what, I had an opportunity to talk with Dan Weldon as well, and he's very, very happy with his car. Obviously, he knows the Indianapolis 500 very, very well. And it is very exciting to see that happen this year with him. And I guarantee you, that's the sleeper guy you guys got to keep your eye on. Brian, where are we at?
Well, we are now at the front row, as Bob Uecker might say. And we will start with the outside of row three, and we'll take these drivers one by one. And starting on the outside of row three, this driver had a fantastic fast nine shootout. He improved by about a mile and a half miles per hour over his initial qualification speed, and that's Oriel Servia at 227.168.
If it's my turn, he doesn't quite have the experience.
It is your turn, RJ.
But the outside of turn one, if he can get a jump, he can be top dog all race.
Okay,
and Tom,
really,
just he just kept going stronger and stronger as the day went on.
Markowitz, are you going to talk?
No, I'm here. No, I'm absolutely I'm here. I was trying to follow my flow chart. Short, I thought Brandon Keating was next, but go ahead.
So we are going to go to the middle of row two, and that will be a big, you know, made his presence known. Scott Dixon with a 227.340. RJ, what do we think about Scott?
He's the most experienced on the front row. I think he's going to try to fly to the front. If he doesn't light up the tires and he's gone, he'll be ahead for quite some time.
Right, and I had an opportunity to talk with Scott Dixon as well. Again, I don't have that sound bite loaded here. I thought that I did. But I tell you what Scott is really, really impressed about is that he thinks that he has a shot to actually win the race this year, and I believe that he does. I mean, Scott Dixon has been there every year for several years, and he's no stranger to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I absolutely believe that Scott Dixon will be one of the guys that you got to look at in the top five that's going to be competing for the win. Brian?
Yeah, and Scott, I don't think we're going to see any problems out of the Ganassi team after what we saw on Bowl Day, because you've got, again, you've got Dixon in the middle of row one, and then you're going to have Frank Keady on the outside of row three. And a year that we saw some of the big guys, we talk about some of the big teams, Andretti Motorsports, Penske, and Ganassi, all kind of have their issues this month of May. Ganassi still has two in the top three rows, and that is going to bring us to our pole sitter. And a guy that he's just been up front all week long. It's, every time he went out during practice this week, it only took him a few laps to start putting the top number on the top of the speed chart. He initially qualified on pole day with a 226.954. He was the last man out at the Fast 9 shootout, and he turned the fastest time of the day with a 227.472, the number 77 car of Alex Tagliani. And RJ, it's just when you're fast and you're always fast, you immediately become the favorite.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, RJ. The thing is about Dario Franchitti, I had an opportunity to talk with him as he hopped out of the car. He is very happy with his car. And I tell you what, it was really, really exciting to talk with him after the race to the pole. And I tell you what, he is ready to run the Indianapolis 500. This is what he had to say.
Good. How are you? How to run out there for you today?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. A little nervous to 3 and 4. Going to make a couple of adjustments if we get a chance to do another run. I think we can make it better. If we if we get that chance to do it again, I think we can improve it and hopefully go faster.
Now, was the wind a factor at all for you today at all?
Oh, yeah, the wind's a factor. Everybody's fucking pretty well there, so it's definitely a factor, and makes it pretty interesting.
You weren't able to get very much practice in at the beginning of the week, so at the end of the week you got some practice last in. Do you think that affected you at all?
No, I don't think so. I think we made the best of it. Same for every single person in the field, and we've got experience here. I think it's tough for the rookies. It's tough for everybody, but it's especially tough for the rookies.
Now, you're obviously no stranger to this track. You're a fan favorite. You're obviously a past winner. What would it mean to you personally, though, to win again this year on this particular year?
Well, rather than thinking about that, I've got to think about how we're going to try and make that possible. Our target team, the whole of the team, is focused on trying to win this race, not what we did last year or any other year. It's all about looking forward and trying to win this one, and it's going to be very tough.
Lucky.
All right, that was Dario Franchitti talking with him when he first got out of the car. Brian, do you actually think that he has a chance to win this year, or do we need to be looking at another driver? Brian, are you with me?
Yeah.
How about you, RJ? Brian, are you guys with me? I'm here.
All right,
Brian, are you with me?
So, yeah, that'll leave
okay,
back.
Okay, RJ, go ahead. Go ahead, RJ. Well, I think Dario Franchitti obviously has a chance, but I guarantee you that Chip Ganassi and Roger Penske will probably have a whip in hand and making those guys practice pit stops and hitting and cracking the whip. Both teams are down. Andretti Motorsports is down too.
So we could see a brand new team and a brand new driver. That's what I predict for this race, winning the 500. Tag would be good.
No, I absolutely 100% agree with you. Now, we got 8 minutes left. I think we may have lost Brian. Not entirely sure yet. But go ahead. We've got the rest of the line there. Are you there, RJ? Hello, RJ. All right, it looks like we may have lost RJ. But anyway, we've lost both RJ and Brian, I think, momentarily. We'll try to get them back here in just a second. It's the Indianapolis 500. We are running through the 33 drivers. Are you there with me, RJ? And so here at the Indianapolis 500, we are. Well, apparently we have lost them. Unfortunately, that's the bad part about live radio. Sometimes that sort of stuff happens. So we're live here at the Casablanca.
Indianapolis 500. We've only got just a few more minutes left in the show. Looking very excited about the running of the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. So I guess that's the show. So we'll